Hey everyone, I'm Dave Sandell.
And I'm Caleb Gardner.
And this is the Best Album For podcast, a podcast where we talk about the best album for starting high school. Caleb, how are you doing? It's been a while. You weren't here last week.
I know. I was on a family trip to Iceland, which was so amazing. But now we are back and in the throes of school prep. So this is a very apropos topic for us right now. We actually have a high schooler or someone starting high school. So this is something that we are actually considering. So, you know, I feel like it is a fatherly duty to make sure that he's starting off with the exact right album. So yeah. I'm gonna do that.
You're going to put it in his headphones and make him listen to it.
I actually plan on blaring it over the loudspeaker of the school as he walks in.
I like
and
it.
Once you see my pick, you'll understand why this is so important.
I'm into it. Hey, before we do that, is Iceland feel like a Siguro song, like when you're there?
You know what? I would roll my eyes at that, but 100% it does. I actually had a few, you'd appreciate this. I had a few experiences where I went on these amazing hikes with all the scenery. And for me, I tend to, when I hike, either not listen to anything, like just be in nature. And, you know, especially if it's around, like I went on this amazing waterfall hike and you're just like listening to the sound of the running water. And, so amazing. But there were a few times where I'd put in headphones, but you've got to be, again, we got it. I know you did Best Album for Retreating in the Woods without me, so whatever. I was actually retreating into the woods listening to music. And a few of these times, I would put on music, and I feel like I only want to listen to things that enhance the experience, not distract from it.
Yeah.
And so something like Siguros or, you know, just big kind of atmosphere. I think I put M83 in once, like, you know, something that just makes you feel like a part of the environment. It's just, it's a great in experience enhancer, I think.
I should say Quentin filled in admirably. Although I found that I was like really nervous. Like, and he's like my good friend. I wasn't talking to like a major celebrity or something. And I found myself constantly saying, you know, like, you know.
It's not your fault. I've got a real like therapist be on my couch vibe. And I just invite people to open up, you know, I'm on a podcast with. So you were really, you know, you weren't set up for success on that.
He actually offered to come back and do a best album for getting into jazz where he's going to give us some homework.
So oh my
he's
God.
Like give us like 5 to 10 albums to listen to and prep.
I would absolutely do that. That sounds amazing. Also, I just want to like hang out with him for a bit. Cause I'm jealous that you two got to chat and I had to be, off in stupid Iceland.
Yeah. Stupid Iceland, stupid, beautiful Iceland,
stupid, most beautiful country in the world.
Well, hey, we're talking about starting high school. My kids are very far away from high school. One of your kids is starting high school right now.
It's
are
wild.
You experiencing like any sort of, I know nostalgia isn't the right word for for your high school experience, but are you experiencing any like kind of like desires, you're discovering some desires you have for him as he enters high school that you weren't necessarily aware of, like things that are coming up for you as you remember going into high school and as he starts?
Yes. I just feel like he is set up for success in a way that I never was for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. Some of that is generational. Like, obviously, we've come a long way since the 1890s when you and I went to high school.
The late 1900s.
Yes.
I saw somebody call it the late 1900s. And I was like, come on.
That's
not fair.
I saw that too on TikTok and it hurt my soul a little bit. You know, it's just, it's a wildly different world, as it should be. But it's like, to me, it's a better world. Like, it's more accepting in so many ways. We know so much more about what career pathing looks like in this day and age. So I do feel like he is set up for success in that respect, where it's just like the world is more accepting of all kinds of paths for your life. And it's more progressive. It's more open for, you know, like what your life can look like. I also feel like he's set up for success in that, you know, generationally, I'm proud to say, like, you know, I grew up in a working class family and, you know, I was one of the only kids in my, you know, whole kind of clan of cousins to go to college. And so in that way, he is set up for success in that, like, he is, you know, pretty much, you know, guaranteed a college education at some point. The stressor is that, like, now's the time where that shit gets real. Like,
yeah, that's interesting.
Where he's like,
this counts.
This counts, right? Like, every grade counts. Huh. You got to start looking at colleges pretty early. We got to, you know, we're buying him like equipment to like do some serious academic study, you know, like that's the thing that makes me more nervous. It's not even so much like setting him up for adulthood or success in adulthood. Like, I think he's going to be fine with that. Like, I'm not worried about that. It's the like next 8 years of like the stress about getting into college, the picking a college, the academic study, and then the actual academic study in college. That's super, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be an amazing formative time in his life. And I think that's what I want for him more than anything else, is just like it to go well. You know, like this is like the time in your life where you get squeezed and some people come out a diamond and some people shrivel, I guess. And like, I really want him to find some resiliency and passion and like direction for his life in the next 8 years.
Do you remember having those same desires for yourself when you were starting high school?
No. I don't think I honestly like, I should say there was a baseline of view to the future about just getting out of my hometown, like finding something that's going to be a propeller out of this culture that I didn't feel necessarily like I connected with. So I think sure. That was true. But in terms of knowing what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, knowing where I wanted to go to college, I knew I wanted to go to college. Education was important to me, but I don't think I prioritized prepping for that or like thinking about it. Definitely not until at least like junior year or senior year. But you know, it's a tough road, and the smarter kids, the more prepared kids start thinking about it now.
I found myself as I was trying to remember, and I think I have some rose-colored glasses right now about high school, because I've had such a a reconsideration of what that experience was like for me. Like I think for a long time I held on to kind of the pain of it or the sadness of it or the all the things that didn't happen. And just, you know, I've talked about this in other episodes. Like, there was, in the last several years, I've just had this reconsideration of, oh, that was actually pretty great. Like, there was a lot of things there that I didn't understand at the time were pretty awesome. Although I do remember experiencing them to the full, and I'm so glad that I did. I'm so glad that I just like fully embraced
the situation. Can you give us some examples? Like, what are some of the things that you know, what are some of the experiences that in retrospect were amazing, but maybe in the moment you were like, what's happening?
I think that, I think I talked about this on one of the recent episodes on the driving by a group of youths. Mm-hmm. I had a preoccupation with being popular, and I was so far. I mean, I was an outcast. Right. Like, I was so far away from that experience and had no real inroad to that experience, but I just like really longed for it. And I don't totally understand why, other than just society told me that I should, and I'm a four and I want to be special, you know, like I just want I want everybody to think that I'm special. I couldn't have articulated that at the time.
Enneagram four, if you don't understand that language.
I should stop pulling that out. This is not an Enneagram podcast for the thousandth time.
I have a four wing that I feel like pushed me to not want to be part of that crowd, like to be unique and not be and like kind of like roll my eyes at that popularity.
Well, crowd. And so I definitely had that experience too of, you know, I felt like nobody understood me and, you know, to some extent, maybe that's true. Like I was actually hanging out with two of my dearest friends last night from high school, and I'm here in my hometown right now. I'm actually recording this in my hometown, blocks away from my high school. I was talking to them about like, I don't necessarily know that we all valued the same things as each other, but we all valued each other so much that we kind of like figured it out. Like we made it work. Like we invested in the things that each other, like I remember we were talking about like Star Trek, The Next Generation last night. Like I don't care about Star Trek. Like Star Trek wasn't a show that I was ever into, but because two of my closest friends and The X-Files is another one, like I liked it, but it wasn't like my favorite show, but because they were really into it, I got really into it. And I know we all liked music a lot, but music meant something to me on some deeper level than it did to them. But they like opened their hearts to that and like never always not even like didn't make me feel good, but it fully embraced it and were like willing to let me play all my nonsense.
I like the car.
You know, I think that I the things that I'm now so grateful for are a bunch of people who felt like they didn't belong, found each other, and we made our own little like ecosystem of not belonging together. And then we had something to belong to. I deeply belonged to something. Like I was really well known by many people. And even like in hindsight, like we've had some pretty deep conversations in the last 20 some years about things that they knew about me that I didn't know they knew about me. Things that I thought were like, you know, stuff that I had just buried so nobody could see it. And they knew, they saw it. And I really liked that they saw it. Like that feels really good now knowing that, you know, I wasn't actually alone through a lot of that stuff, even though I would often feel alone through things. And you know, I've found sort of my niche. I made a choice to like kind of, I was never very athletic, but I sort of, there wasn't a lot to do at school until high school. So I sort of did soccer and did basketball and like, I was always riding the bench. I was always struggling to keep up in practice. And then in high school, I was able to kind of just set all of that aside and focus on things that actually gave me a lot of life. And so I found, you know, my way into extracurriculars and different things that I felt like I got to like let more of myself out. And I didn't hold back at all. Like I just fully threw myself into those things, even though those things were guaranteed, maybe not guaranteed, but made it much less likely I was ever going to move into a popular crowd.
Well, I'm interested in like why you were still interested in that. If you had this like belonging crowd or like place that you belonged, like what was, because I feel like I had the opposite experience in both accounts, whereas like I had a few close friends, but not really a group that I like really felt like I belonged in, which by the way is an endemic thing about my entire life because I always have a hard time with that. And then the other is I didn't care at all about being in the popular crowd and kind of rolled my eyes at them the entire time.
Yeah.
So like, it's interesting that like on both accounts, we were at the opposite extremes.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think I was just a dumb kid, you know, like I just wanted what I wanted. It wasn't like well
done,
thought
podcast
out.
Over.
Right. You know, I mean, one of the things I actually wanted to talk about tonight and get into a little bit is how we form our imagination for what, just not even just high school, but what events in life are going to feel like or be like. Mm. And high school was a big part of that. And I think I had fully understood high school through the lens of like Saved by the Bell and Beverly Hills 90210. That's like how I understood high school to be.
That was
and
the canon.
Those shows rarely revolved around the nerds and the outcasts, like the
That's
people
fair.
Who were, you know, music geeks or whatever else. Like they just never did. And so, you know,
I mean, thank God for Freaks and Geeks. That's all I want to say. It's like that show changed the game. I know it did come too late. Yeah. The only other equivalent I would say is, did you ever watch My So-Called Life?
Oh, see, My So-Called Life was like an text for me. Like that was, I felt more seen by that show than anything I had seen up to that point.
That's the only one I remember around that same period that tried to come at high school from a different angle.
Yeah. And God bless him for it.
Yeah.
Because it
seriously.
Definitely opened some stuff up for me. You know, I think that, I had an understanding of the best way to like wring the most life out of life is to, maybe this isn't true. I think I had in my head that the best way to wring things out of life was to kind of be at the center of everything and not be excluded from things. And so being excluded from things felt really bad. Like it just felt really bad. And, and it was kind of I was in a very small school. I don't know if these numbers are accurate, but at one point I think that we counted up that like we graduated with something like 35 people and more than 20 of them were with me in like kindergarten or like first grade.
Oh, well, that's
and
wild.
It's just like, you know, once you're sort of typecast or like, you know, archetyped, it was really hard to wiggle your way out of that. And I remember feeling like there was this thing that happened. I don't know if it was before middle school or before high school, but I think it was right when high school started, where a bunch of new kids came in. Like there was, you know, four or five of these new kids who all kind of knew each other, but they all came in and they, as I got to know them, seemed kind of like me, but they immediately were popular. They immediately went with that crowd and not with like our little side crowd.
That's interesting. I mean, at that level, it's probably just the novelty, right? Like,
yeah, maybe. Or just they're great people. I think what's true is that kids are dumb and, you know,
who knows what things happen. You get typecast at an early age, yeah.
And I didn't, you know, like I said, I wasn't necessarily, I was longing for popularity, but I wasn't like shaping my life around it. Like I just embraced the things that I embraced, you know, like I loved the things that I loved and I loved them really deeply. And, you know, I mean, there's 100 other reasons that probably are better saved for like a therapist chair, but we already
established that is the service that I provide on this podcast for you.
All credit to your demeanor. I don't know that broadcasting this on the internet is the safest space for that. although I do, you know, I appreciate all of our listeners indulging me as I work through some stuff.
Also, a shout out to broadcasting things on the internet being a much more limited practice when we were in high school. That is something that I'm very nervous about my son having to go through. But, you know, that's the world we live in now.
How did you get your imagination for what high school was going to be like? Was that true for you of the like TV kind of taught you what it was supposed to be like?
I mean, TV taught me everything, Dave. I was a 90s kid, you know, like we were practically raised by TGIF and such. I mean, I can't even think of where else my expectations of high school would have come from. I mean, you hear stories, obviously the closer you get, then you start knowing people who are in it or having people with siblings who are in it, you know, and you get some of the lore from that. Saved by the Bell is exactly where my head goes, which is, I mean, just a caricature of it, of course.
Sure.
But you do, yeah, that's kind of that. And I would say, this is embarrassing, was a Saved by the Bell college year, same thing about college. I was like, must be what college is like.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt that way. And you know, different light, another world, different world.
Oh, what was different the Cosby world. So spin-off? Oh, yeah. Different world. I liked a different world. Anyway. Yeah.
I remember feeling like, and I just want to name this since this is going out to the world. I doubt any of my classmates are listening to this or ever will, but just to name, a lot of the bullying that was happening to me was not happening because of the people in my class. My classmates were largely kind people, not 100%, but mostly. But a lot of the bullying was happening from people who were older than me at that same school. And that sucked. Like, being bullied sucks. Being thrown into lockers sucks. Being like, you know, made to feel less than is not an ideal way to go through life. And I had this idea in my head that like once high school started, something significant would change. Like all of those things would stop. And I even had in my head that maybe once high school started, I would stop like pining and striving for things that, you know, were just eluding me all the time. But what was interesting was that at least in my high school, seventh and eighth grade were in the same building as like ninth through 12th. We were a little separated from the like high schoolers, but we were kind of in each other's space a lot. And so there wasn't like this going to a new building and now I have a fresh start thing. And also see my previous comments about the same 27 people. Like, you know, there wasn't actually a fresh start happening, but I had in my head that this was going to be this like fresh start. Do you experience like the way that media shapes our imaginations for these things? Do you find yourself still doing that? Like my imagination for retirement or for getting older or for kids growing up or for their weddings or, you know, grandchildren. I think a lot of those things are still being fed by media, by television and movies. Yeah, like, I think I have a vision for those things based on stories that I've heard, or not stories I've heard, but fictional stories that I've watched.
I think that was much truer of me in early life than it is now. Now I think I have experienced enough of life. God, that definitely made me feel old. I've experienced enough to know like a lot of that is just like expectation setting in media and that like all these things. I don't know. I feel I do love fresh starts, and I love that like back to school feeling. Like I don't feel like you get a lot of that same like excitement about starting a new year in adulthood, right? But now I think you gotta like find moments to create that for yourself. Mm. I think that's what it comes down to when you get older and you realize that, you know, every day can be a fresh start. Oh my God, I put that on a inspirational poster, but you know what I mean.
Listen, man, it'll sell a million copies. You should just do it tomorrow. I think that, you know, so while starting high school was for me like kind of all optimism and all of that, it was also a lot of hormones. Just a lot of hormones and a lot of feelings and a lot of new feelings that were kind of, you know, like, oh, what am I? What's this feeling? Oh. And I think that as I was thinking about best album for starting high school, I definitely had in the back of my head, like, I want something that feels optimistic and feels like a fresh start, but also is just filled with hormones.
Yeah.
And of all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, I think I thought similar. I definitely thought that there needs to be some unearned confidence.
That's well said. That's well said.
If not straight hormones, at least like there needs to be confidence here. Projected that is obviously misplaced.
Yeah, for sure. I think also there was this thing where I was growing up, like I think that some of the things that I cared about in middle school or grade school started to feel like, oh, I'm more mature than that now. I wasn't, but like
I know
it felt like I was more mature than that. So I tried to pick something. I think I nailed it. I tried to pick something that felt more mature, but actually maybe wasn't. And then the other thing that I was thinking about was, it's a countdown, like a countdown begins. You mentioned this before when you're thinking about miles, like the 4-year clock felt real to me. Like I wasn't necessarily like aiming at college in the first years, just like you. I kind of really took that seriously more towards like sophomore, junior, senior year. But I definitely felt this countdown of like, hey, in 4 years, I might be leaving, or like in 4 years, right, I might be, you know, making some major life choice that's going to affect the rest of my life. And there's both like a lot of, you know, uncertainty and maybe fear in that, but there's also a lot of, you know, excitement and hope and, you know, kind of big dreaming. I really wanted to go to USC. I really wanted to be a filmmaker. And so I spent like kind of the first 3 years of high school thinking about college happening at USC and like thinking about life happening in California.
Yeah.
I didn't go to USC.
I was going
to
say TLDR. <Yeah. laughs>
I chickened out and didn't even apply, but just, you know, whatever. That's something my kids will have that I don't, is, you know, somebody saying, hey, you can do it.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, yeah, that's a whole like whole other podcast about like relationships with parents and dreams and in high school. And that's a, there's definitely albums built about that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
The one thing I do wonder about Dave's story based on what you just said is, would it have been different if you had been at a bigger high school? Because my high school graduating class was more like 300. And yeah. It was very easy at that size to kind of fade into the background or be part of like any number of friend groups or find your kind of niche, you know?
Yeah.
And I wonder if your high school experience would have been different.
I wonder that all the time. And like I said, I'm so grateful for what I had. Like you know, Gerhardt and Kurt and Mike, like my closest friends in high school, I wouldn't trade that for anything. It was profound. You know, our friendship was profound and, those memories are really sacred to me now. And so I sometimes, you know, like find myself doing the thought experiment of like, would I have found like the punk crowd, or would I have found like the kids who wanted to start a band, and would I have found, and I think we were talking about this last night too. I think what's true is that maybe I would have found some people who liked some of the same things that I liked, but I don't necessarily know that that would have fixed all of the things that I felt were missing in my life.
Sure.
I think there just would have been a whole new set of issues. That 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is absolutely true. And that part of the high school experience is thinking there are easy answers to those kinds of questions.
That's right. That's right. Well, because it feels limited. You know, it feels like you're still in a bubble. You know, you're still.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. High school is wild. You know, just being in the same building, being next to the same people every day, all day for years. I mean, not just all day like you were in middle school or grade school, but all day. Like we started band practice, you know, at like 6:37 in the morning, and then we had other practices after school till 5-6 at night. Like it was wild? All day.
I was not in band, so I didn't have that experience. Anyway, what'd you pick? After all this prelude, no, that's not, is that the right word?
Yeah, prologue, all this build up,
build up.
Yeah.
What's the album that is the right album for starting high school?
So the most important thing to me was picking an album that sounded like it could have soundtracked any episode of The OC. Like any episode of any high school. Any episode of any high school teenage show, it had to sound like it fitted in that, because that was my whole imagination for high school. And I decided to go with Blink-182's self-titled album. Which is not their most popular and not their most famous record and not their most celebrated record, but for me was the one that most sounded like the high school experience I thought I was walking into. I think that some of their older albums, you know, Enema of the State, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, are trying to like all id and all like breezy summers and just being stupid and being goofy and being a kid. And they captured so well what it's like to just be an adolescent and, you know, kind of going through that time. And I think that if I was picking a best album for middle school, I would happily consider both of those albums. But in high school, like I said, I thought that I was going to mature and I was going to grow up a little bit. And I was genuinely growing up a little bit. And something that Blink-182 did very probably, it must have been intentionally on this record, was they had a lot of experimentation and they had a lot of their lyrics were a lot darker and a lot more considered. There's real orchestration in some of these songs. There's violins and string sections. There's, you know, beats, and they're trying out different things. And I think most of those experiments were pretty successful. And this album is not like a canon, but just spoiler alert, it is not a canon record for me, but it is something that I'll put on from time to time. And I'm super happy to listen to because it's just anthem after anthem after anthem. And all of the anthems have, they're just like filled with pathos and filled with hormones. There's a lot of love songs on Blink-182's self-titled album. And a lot of like unrequited love or lost love or people who've rejected them. A lot of songs about that. Feeling This, I Miss You, you know, Here's Your Letter, I'm Lost Without You. All of those songs kind of sit in that place. And I think for me, the one defining trait of high school was just constantly wanting to be in a relationship, like really desperately wanting to have a girlfriend.
Oh my God.
For
same.
Somebody to want to be my girlfriend.
I was just really thinking about important. How like the defining feeling for me in high school was just like status as it relates to who you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest, how far you've gone sexually, which is so stupid.
That was a little different in our high school just because it was this Catholic high school and I was banned.
So it was all behind the scenes. We didn't talk about it.
Probably.
But like all nonsense, you know, like all that kind of like relationship nonsense, basically. And like the part of the experience in terms of that newness about like every year was like, this is the year a girl's going to notice me.
Absolutely. I remember, you know? So I was a musical theater nerd, and I had the lead role my sophomore year of high school. I don't understand how that happened, but it did. And I remember thinking, this is the thing that's going to get me a girlfriend. Like this experience, somebody's going to notice me. And I remember the day of, so we wore makeup on stage and there was nobody that knew how to do guys makeup. So they just had the girls do the guys makeup and they just did it like they would for a girl. And so we all looked very feminine.
I had that exact same experience.
And we were walking around. I remember walking around school feeling like I was the coolest kid on the whole campus. And I overheard kids like making fun of me. Like I overheard kids making fun of me while I was walking by them. And still I was like, whatever, dude, I'm the coolest kid on this campus just for today. As I was walking around like caked in makeup. It was ridiculous. But I remember feeling like, just constantly, this experience is the one that's where I'm going to finally get a girlfriend. Somebody's finally going to notice me and want to be my girlfriend. And so I really love that Blink-182 is just very concerned with that experience. I think that they're very uniquely good at capturing kind of in real time what it's like, what it feels like to be a teenager and what it feels like to have these kind of high school formative experiences. I think that they are a profoundly silly band, you know, that is irreverent and goofy, and you know, half of their lyrics are just, you know, I don't know if half is wrong, but so many of their lyrics are just like double entendres and fart jokes, but yeah. there's something about it that feels very present and feels very like genuine and authentic. I really like that. I really respect that about that. They didn't feel, I'm sure, you know, I know that they were shooting for stardom. I know that they wanted to be a huge band. And I know that a lot of people knock them for that. But when I listen to Blink 182, I just hear like all of the emotions, all the angst and all of the heartbreak and heartache and all of the excitement and all of the wild raging hormones, you know, all of the like, what do I do with these feelings? It all is kind of bottled up in each one of their songs. And it's just wild. Like these are just wild kids who have a band and are so stupid and is so fun. And I think that on the Blink 182 self-titled album, they're growing up, but just a little bit. Like it's just a little bit.
And, well, and it's talk the to exact amount of right. That's what I want to ask. Is talk to me about this in the like Blink 182 canon in terms of the chronology here. Like this is after Enema of the State, right?
Way after Enema of the State. So Enema of the State was 2000. I'm sorry, Enema of the State was 1999. I think that Dude Ranch was maybe 97, and they had another one before that as well. Dude Ranch was the one with Damn It. I guess this is growing up on it. That was such a fun song.
Yeah, that's and where then, I that was really what I knew them for in high school was Dude Ranch and Damn It, which was a great song.
Yeah, so What's My Age Again, all the small things. And then Adam's Song, which is like a really deep song about suicide or about processing one of their friends committing suicide. And then they had an album called Take Off Your Pants and Jacket in 2001 that has Anthem Part 2 and I Fell in Love with the Girl at the Rock Show and just another bunch of wild, crazy songs. And it also has Stay Together for the Kids, which is a song about divorce, but it's kind of told through the eyes of a kid experiencing it and centering himself in that experience and just being upset and angry that this is happening. And there's kind of this world revolves around me thing that goes through all of their songs. So even when they get deeper, even when they get deeper, they still kind of center it on this like kind of petulant, petty kid inside of them. And I just love that they do that. So then Blink 182, the self-titled one, comes out in 2003. Which, by the way, is years after I graduated high school and almost a full decade after I started high school. But it sounds like high school to me. And this is the one that starts with I Miss You. I Miss You is the biggest song off of that record. And that that's the song with strings. And it's lovely and thoughtful and just reaching for something that's a little bit different than what they'd done before. And then there's all these other things that happen on that record. Like there's a interlude track where somebody's reading a letter. There's an interlude track where they're kind of playing with beats and loops, which is kind of fun. They have a track where Robert Smith from The Cure just totally takes over the song. Like he is the lead vocalist. Like usually my memory of had guest stars on your album or like guest feature spots on your album, not rap albums, but rock albums, is that they were either backup vocals or doing like maybe a little bit of chorus, but here he like is the whole song. It all just seems to be how nothing I feel pulls me. Tom DeLonge sings the chorus, but otherwise it's like all Robert Smith. And I think that it reveals something that's true about Blink 182, which is that they are the Cure, but for kids who had friends and kids who like... We're having a good time.
Oh my God. The Cure Skater for punks. Kids who had friends. That's so funny.
Like these are all like immature emotions in real time, not in hindsight. And this band meant a lot to a lot of people. Like I sometimes am surprised how much Blink 182 meant to people because they're so goofy, because their songs are like so clearly written just to be radio hits. And they're so good at that. I remember discovering that Mark Hoppus is actually of the two of them, of Tom DeLonge and Mark Hoppus. Mark Hoppus usually sings the songs that are deeper and more thoughtful because his voice kind of lends itself to that. But Tom DeLonge was actually the one that was pushing all of those things and writing all of those things.
Oh, fascinating.
And that really blew my mind when I discovered that Tom DeLonge, who sounds like just like this kid who would play pranks in school and like cut class, is actually the one like really mining the depths of his soul and Mark Hoppus from what I can tell, was just kind of there to have fun. And of course, they're both great songwriters and they're both bringing a lot to the table. I don't want to demean Mark Hoppus, yeah. but it blew my mind that Tom DeLonge was actually maybe the one pushing them a little bit forward.
Yeah. I mean, Tom DeLonge's voice is just like, he's got this very distinct nasally sound yeah. that is just like, I mean, you hear it on All the Small Things. You hear it on
All the Small Things.
Yeah, it's just like All the Small Things. Like
it's
just
almost British. It's like weirdly almost British. I've never understood his accent.
But it's like so distinctly pop punk in a way that is very, very like distinct to that genre in my head, in a way that like makes him be able to sound like he is singing on behalf of every kid in America. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that they, I don't know enough about music theory to understand what's happening here, but it strikes me that every chord that they choose sounds like it could soundtrack any scene in The OC. Just any scene in 90210 could be soundtracked by a Blink-182 song. Like they find the exact right notes that kind of hit you in your teenage angsty little heart. But also like big anthemic heart, you know, like these songs yeah. are made for arenas. They're not made for garages. They're made for arenas. And
totally.
They should soundtrack any sweeping scene. You know, there's this thing that I didn't understand until I was much older where, you know, because all these teenage shows were set in California, all of their campuses were open air. And so they like walk between buildings outside and there's like, seemingly you could just leave, like you could just leave campus because you're constantly outside and constantly unsupervised kind of between classes. And I always thought that was a fantasy. I always thought that was wishful fulfillment on behalf of the writers, because my experience was like this concrete building that you were just in the entire time.
Right.
And so I always thought that this was actually, they were filming on college campuses and college campuses are like that. So they're just pretending. And then I come to find out that no, that's actually what high school is like in California.
That's wild.
You just go in yeah. the sun between classes and, of course, you're optimistic.
My high school is way too afraid of its students to let them do that.
Right? I felt that way too. We had senior passes, but only like where we could leave campus for lunch, but only in senior year.
Yeah,
like,
same. We could leave campus for lunch at in any year, I think. But like, obviously, you had to find someone with a car and who could drive, and like, you couldn't go very far. There weren't very many places yeah. to go, so like, it wasn't always worth leaving.
We found Taco John's had very cheap tacos on Tuesdays. I don't know if they were 10 cents or 20 cents or 25 cents, but we would commonly go there and just see who could eat the most tacos. And it was always this guy named John. He always ate the most tacos.
Wait. A guy named John ate the most tacos at Taco John's.
Oh, that's true. I never thought about that. That's like it was his birthright.
How did you not make that connection? That's so funny.
That's
yeah, it's weird because similarly, we had a Taco Bueno. That was what it was called. And it was one of the only places that you could get to order food, eat it, and get back in time. And that was what we did almost every single day because it was cheap. You could just get, you know, a few tacos here and there. And again, you had to leave campus. I mean, it wasn't cool if you didn't leave campus.
Right. Did you wear uniforms to school?
No.
See, we wore uniforms. And that's always been this like defining thing about high school to me. Like we had jean days. Yeah, we could wear jeans on Fridays for a price you had to pay. And then that went to like
wait, you had to pay? That is quite a hustle.
Yeah,
that is quite a hustle, Catholic school.
It probably went to, I mean, I think the money went to like prom or something, but. Oh, man, we've even talked about prom. Like, one of the things that was true about high school was that you were going to be forced into scenarios where you had to ask somebody to a dance.
Yes.
Or else risk not having somebody go with you to a dance.
We got to keep that for the next podcast. Oh, my God. That's got to be a whole podcast in and of itself.
Best album for having to deal with asking somebody to the prom.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, Morgan, writing it down right
this
now.
This is just starting high school. There's a plethora of albums that we can mine for the high school experience, I think.
That's true. I deliberately just chose one, tried to choose one specific thing about high school because I want to revisit this because there's lots to talk about. So yeah. Blink-182, I recently had somebody ask me to invite you to tell me when I'm wrong and to fight me a little bit. So that's I'm curious. Funny. Are you into this album? Are you into Blink-182? Can you see this soundtracking a high school experience?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I this is not one of the times I'm going to argue with you because Blink-182 100% soundtrack to soundtrack to, I don't, this is what's funny, is that going back to how much media influenced our perception of what high school was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a soundtrack to that version of high school. Like, yes, maybe not agreed. Even the real high school.
100%.
But that, like, media-soaked version of high school, 100%. Blink-182 works so well. Actually, my high school experience, all I can think of is, like, everyone posing, trying to, like, listen to hardcore rap or, like, hardcore metal. Those were, like, oh, metal. Actual... Oh, yeah. Korn, Deftones.
Oh, because you were a little bit later than me. Yeah, absolutely.
Nine Inch Nails. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Those are the real soundtracks to my high school, which is kind of disturbing in lots of ways. You think about it, like a bunch of like Oklahoma kids like driving down the street, listening to like hardcore West Coast rap because they thought it was cool. That's the actual soundtrack. But Blink-182 is the soundtrack of what it's supposed to be.
That's right. That sounds right.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the soundtrack, what it was supposed to be, I thought a lot about that intro, like the unearned confidence of literally walking in the building and saying, I'm going to be a new person. Like we talked about, like the fresh start. Now's my chance to get attention from the girls. Or, you know, whoever you're trying to get attention to, where, you know, this is just me and Dave's experience.
Right.
But like, just that swagger, like now's the chance to come out with this unearned confidence swagger and make a statement. And there is no better album for me for that than Ill Communication by the Beastie Boys. Specifically, I mean, you know that I was imagining Sabotage playing over the loudspeakers as you're walking through, and you got to be walking through in slow motion too. Like, it can't be a full-on walk. It's got to be one of those slow motion walks. Sabotage is playing. You're in the building now. We're here. I mean, there's a whole vibe to that, Dave. It's a whole vibe to that. I think there's a whole vibe to Beastie Boys in general, in a way that shouldn't work. I just want to put that out into the world as we start talking about the Beastie Boys, is that they should not work. The Beastie Boys defy every single expectation we have about music.
So don't you agree? Go more into that. I mean, obviously, Ill Communication is one of my, like, it's like one of my like core memory album. Like, I love this album more than most other albums that have been made. So you're not going to get any arguments from me today, and I'm going to be fully in tune with you. But for our audience's sake, tell us more about that.
I mean, they are three Jewish kids from Brooklyn coming up in the like early hip hop scene. Just coming up with these funky beats and rapping their little hearts out in a way that, again, shouldn't work. Like, I don't know why this works. And everyone just like went along with it. And there was no conversation at all that in a similar way about like Vanilla Ice, or eventually about like Eminem, about like these white kids trying to get into hip hop. No. Beastie Boys were just there. It was no question. It just worked.
I think it's because they never pretended that they were awesome. Like, they always, like, License to Ill, which I don't actually like License to Ill very much, but License to Ill, like, there's not a moment in that album where they are not fully aware that they are three Jewish kids from Brooklyn. Like, they are calling your full attention to who they are. And I think because they did that for you, they were allowed, you know, and they had good rhymes. Like, they're pretty good at this.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That shouldn't be the case, but it is.
Well, they were like a punk band. It seems like they even like did this on a lark. Like, they weren't aiming to be rap superstars. They Correct. Were a punk band who found rap.
Correct. And what I love, one of the things I love about Ill Communication is that punk side comes out.
Oh, yeah.
It comes out in Sabotage. It comes out in earlier tracks like Tough Guy. Uh,
Parsec like, Man, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like you get this whole range of hip hop, punk rock, jazz, funk on this album.
So much.
Sometimes
funk.
It intersects, sometimes it stands alone. It's just, yep. It's so much fun. I remember like one of the, I think, most surprising things about this is how long they just go on with the instrumentals where they're just like jamming and you just feel like you're just sitting in the room watching them jam and like have a real, like just a blast. And occasionally they'll come in with this hip hop beats and you know, like they'll drop all this knowledge. But most of it is like most of the, especially the back half of this album is them just like jamming.
Yeah. And it's like, it's them playing, like it's the three of them on their instruments.
Yep.
I mean, they've got Money Mark in there on keyboards, but otherwise it's like almost entirely the three of them. And that blows my mind because it's really good. Like they don't seem like they're very good at playing their instruments. They were, you know, but these songs are like they fully took in what Miles Davis was doing with On the Corner and Sly Stone was doing with, you know, everything Sly Stone ever did. And they churned out all of these amazing, like funky beats and funky bass lines. MCA, by the way, is the bass player. And that is the best thing to me because obviously their bass lines are the best part of all this music. And MCA is the best Beastie Boy. And so I'm so happy that MCA was their bass player.
I mean, I remember I've got a distinct memory of watching Sabotage. I want to say on the MTV Video Music Awards.
Okay.
Of them playing a live version of Sabotage. And I remember I was like, oh my God, they're all playing their instruments.
Yeah.
I was like, this is for real. Like they're legit musicians. And by the way, it's real weird to see someone playing guitar while going, I can't stand like that like growl that he's got, you know?
Yeah, man. Ad-Rock like goes for it. It's cool.
It's like, again, I do not understand. I don't understand how Ad-Rock or really anyone who's got that kind of like quality to their voice can do that over an extended period of time, over a career.
Because
like, what is your voice even doing? I couldn't do that like if I wanted to. Like I could not even pretend to do that sound.
I think I could get there. I'm not going to demonstrate. I think I can get there. I'll tell you why. Because I've gotten there in my car so many times. Thousands of times.
Excellent. Excellent. But I mean, I will stipulate that the combination of Root Down, then Sabotage, then Get It Together is maybe one of the most fun trio of songs back to back on an album ever created.
I like it. I'm into it. Like when Q-Tip shows up on Get It Together, it's like, this was already awesome. And then you brought in Q-Tip. But it's just one of the best Q-Tip tracks there's ever been. Ad rocks down with the Ioni. Listen to the shit because both of them is bony. Gotta do it like this, like Chachi and Joni. One of the things I love about Beastie Boys is that there's no way you can understand their lyrics if you're a kid in Oklahoma or a kid in Iowa. Like there's just, you just don't have enough access to like old school media. And they are just 100%. Constantly, every other rhyme has something, they're calling out somebody by name or some show by name or some something by name. And I had no access. I had no idea how to find it, but it all felt so specific that I like wanted to get there. I was like, ooh, this is the aesthetic that I want. I want to wear these Adidas jackets and I want to wear these shoes.
Yeah,
I want to wear these Timbos.
It was a whole aesthetic. You're totally right. And as you know, Q-Tip says in that song, he's got the Timbos on his toes, and this is how it goes.
That's actually a callback to a Tribe Called Quest song. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's a callback to a Tribe Called Quest song.
Oh yes, I love
that. That's why they say 1, 2, oh my God, because it's from the song Oh My God.
Yes, that's awesome. I just love. I mean, but they keep up with them. This is the thing: is again, you think these guys are just like playing around, but you know, that song, there's a whole like back and forth. You just feel like you're watching them have fun, you know, together. Cause they're just like, there's this whole call and response thing. They're going like, Get It Together does not have like a typical song structure.
Right.
Like
where
there's like a specific chorus. It's got some callbacks. It's got some repeats, but like, it's basically them just throwing it to each other for all these, you know what I mean? And they're all doing great. Like it's amazing.
I will say though, The only thing about having Q-Tip on your record and Biz Markie and some of those, the Beastie Boys, while they are super fun, are not as good of rappers as Q-Tip or as, you know, anybody in De La Soul or anybody in Public Enemy or the other people who are making like the best music in the genre. And so I've always wondered kind of like to myself, like, do I think they're some of the best rappers ever because they're white? Like, am I just desperate to like, finally I have somebody. I love this music so much and there's somebody who I can like hold on to and not feel like I'm just appropriating everything.
I think that based on Get It Together Alone, and again, that may be the song that I've listened to the most from this record, like the one that I go back to the most. Like Sabotage is awesome. Some of these other ones are awesome, but like there's a time and a place for them. Whereas I could put on Get It Together pretty much anytime and be into it. You know what I mean?
I do.
And again, I don't feel like they're necessarily better rappers than Q-Tip, but it feels like they keep up pretty well in a way that, again, it doesn't feel like they should be able to.
I think it's just that they're not saying anything. Like MCA occasionally will have a few verses where he's saying something, but at no point are they doing anything other than just being bombastic. And I guess that was true of Five Dog. Maybe. It was true of a lot of other rappers at that time too, but they are never saying, they are just having fun. They are just trying to make each other laugh. And there's a place for that. I love that about them.
Yeah. That was the first single released from this album?
No, Sabotage was the first single released from this album.
Oh, no. Get It Together was released on March 17th, 1994. Sabotage was released on May 9th, 1994.
Are you sure? It was the first video for sure. So maybe it was the first single, but the first video was definitely Sabotage.
Yeah, that makes sense. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, isn't that?
Oh, okay, I see it now. Yeah, you're right.
That would be the one that they would choose to like release first.
I wonder if that got played on modern rock radio. Where did that get played?
I'm
like,
no idea. Because I'm like, where would, again, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, where, who's this for other than, who's this for other than you, who's just like having a blast in the studio with Q-Tip?
Have you heard the ABA remix of Get It Together?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, write it down and check it out afterwards. It's and to our audience, if you love Get It Together, go check out the ABA remix of Get It Together, because it's...
I'm 100% going to listen to that after this.
It's awesome. It's so good, especially if you've been listening to it since 1994. It's almost like 30 years with this album now. This is great.
Yeah, isn't that wild? And I should say, similarly, this album came out actually before I was in high school. Mm-hmm. So
unlike mine, that yours came out years after.
Yours was after. Mine came out a little bit before I was in high school. But, oh man, I loved this album when I was in high school. It's so much fun.
So this actually was the year of my freshman year.
Wow, that's so
fun. It was awesome. I loved Check Your Head, but I didn't like, I don't think that I got Check Your Head. Like so that wasn't an album that I ever owned, but it was one of the albums that I listened to at my friend's house, who like was into Nine Inch Nails and Metallica and all the other stuff that I didn't really get into. And he had Check Your Head and I was always really drawn to it. And I remember listening to it and they'd have these instrumentals. It was the first album they were like playing their own instruments and, you know, and like not using many samples, doing a lot of this like funk rock stuff. All that stuff happened on Check Your Head, and then they kind of perfected it on Ill Communication to the point where people like talk down on Ill Communication. I hear a lot of critics like say, well, it's just kind of like another version of Check Your Head. And I'm like, yeah. And it's perfect. They have perfected it.
They perfected the formula.
This is the Beastie Boys record. Like, I actually think it's hard to make an argument that this isn't the Beastie Boys record. And Paul's Boutique is a masterpiece. And obviously, License Deal, and I don't like, is probably still their most popular album. But Ill Communication, like, this is like the culmination of their career. And they had big stuff after. I mean, Intergalactic was massive. You know,
that's what I was going to say. Intergalactic is the one I remember that came out actually from Hello Nasty, we should say.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was actually in high school. And you're right, it was all over the place. And it's a great song.
Inescapable.
It's a Sabotage, fantastic song.
I remember like watching the video for Sabotage and just like, it struck me at the time. Again, I wanted to be a filmmaker, and it struck me at the time of like, oh, I can just grab a camera and get my buddies together and do stupid shit. Like, it kind of opened that window for me because I didn't totally understand how that would work. I was watching, you know, Pulp Fiction at the time and being like, I can never do this. Like, how are you doing this? And then I watched Sabotage and Spike Jonze, who's a master of the form. You know, I'm not going to ever pretend that I could have gotten to Spike Jonze territory, but Spike Jonze like opened that door for me of, oh, interesting. We can just go have fun and be stupid. And we did. We made lots of videos that were just us having fun and being stupid. I wish I had him still. I'm so sad I don't have him.
If I remember right, wasn't that just like them play acting as like 70s detectives and that kind of style? Yeah. Which like, didn't they even have like mustaches?
Oh, big ones. Yeah.
Yes.
And they all had code names, which is funny because they already had like fake names.
In terms of unearned swagger.
Oh, yeah. Back to high school.
Yeah, in terms of unearned swagger, I mean, where can you find better than that? Than Beastie Boys in general, but this album.
I think there's no situation where you put on Ill Communication and you don't immediately feel like so much cooler.
Exactly. And you got to think that, you know, three dorky kids from Brooklyn, this was their outlet, right? This was their like trying to find the place where they belonged.
100%.
And apparently where they belonged was the hip hop canon. What? Like, this makes no sense.
So my question is, are you going to force your son to listen to Ill Communication?
I already have. I was driving him and we put on Ill Communication and I said, hey, is this the right record for your re-entry to high school? I need to know. And I believe he said, But then I followed up and I said, we're going to do a podcast about the best album for entering high school, so I need to know what your pick is. And I believe he said, you millennials and your podcasts.
I'm not a millennial. I'm millennial and I feel offended. Take umbrage. I'm hurt.
I just have so many good fun memories of this album, and it's just, again, I think Beastie Boys should be recognized for the fact that they did something that makes no sense and yet works.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the essential high school experience, right?
Like, maybe that's right. I like it.
It makes no sense and somehow it works.
Yep. Hey, before we wrap up, what do you listen to this week?
Oh, Dave, there has been a plethora of good music since we've talked. I think the one that I will shout out, which has been super fun listen, is a new album by Rat Boys called The Window. Have you listened to this yet?
I put it on for a minute the other day, but I didn't stick with it. Not because I didn't like it, just because I arrived at my destination.
Yeah, Rat Boys being a Chicago-based band, formed in 2010, just came out with this. It's already getting some good critically acclaimed. Critical acclamation. What do you say?
Critical acclaim.
Good at getting some good critical acclaim already. And it's just a really solid, like, I was gonna say indie rock, but almost like indie rock with a tinge of 90s grunge and post country kind of flavor. To me, it like continues that like love affair people are having with the 90s right now in terms of the sounds. So I definitely think you should give it some time.
Does it sound like Wednesday or is it different?
It does sound a little bit like Wednesday. I think it's different. I think Wednesday is probably a little heavier. It's got some good solid tracks, but also just overall is solid. I think it's might end up in my albums of the year at the end. We'll see.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that. I'll spend some time with that this week. I've been listening to a few different things this week. I really like the new No Name record. One of the two members of Stars of the Lid, who we talked about on our best album for Decompressing After a Long Day, Brian McBride, he passed away. And so I've been listening to some of the Stars of the Lid records, particularly Tire Sounds. That's a great record. But the one that I wanted to shout out today is this little EP by Rob Moose. Do you know who Rob Moose is?
No.
So he has worked with Sufjan. He's worked with Bon Iver. He's been in Bon Iver's band for a long time. He did some work on The Suburbs, Arcade Fire's The Suburbs. About two or three years ago, there was a little EP that came out that was like five songs from Phoebe Bridgers' Punisher reworked with just like strings. So it was her voice and strings. And so it kind of like took out all of the other instrumentation and just kind of really focused on her voice. But the strings are really beautiful. It's called the Copycat Killer EP. It's really beautiful. So he does like arrangements and string instruments for several different bands. He's worked with Taylor Swift. And he just came out with a little EP called Inflorescence that is like five songs. It has amazing singers on it. It's Phoebe Bridgers, Justin Vernon, Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes. I beg but never breathe. I straighten my back, I breathe in deep. Here I am, in need, I crawl. And they're all really quiet. You know, they're all just violins and strings in the background. But it kind of fits this niche. Like I want a couple albums like that, and there aren't very many. Hmm. And so I don't know if this is going to land in my top 10 or anything, but it will be played for a long time because it's just nice and lovely to have on in the background. So
nice.
Rob Moose's Inflorescence, I highly recommend it.
Nice.
All right, well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. As always, hit us up with what you want us to talk about in the future. Let us know what your best album for starting high school was. Let us know if Caleb should indeed be fighting me more and telling me that my stuff is nonsense.
Cutting it out. Not today's episode.
All right, everybody. We'll see you soon.